Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Dhimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Vyamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Bhajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Govardhanavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Shyama yona vavaya shushama bhyam Gaurayoa mala kantiya shobhyam Kapi kapi vang akila falguvatangsho Madhuri hridi sadaspuratanme Now, Rupa Goswami describes what the intense love which we have heard about between Radha and Krishna does to the divine couple. You know, when divine love comes into somebody, there will be symptoms. So when Radha loves Krishna so much and Krishna loves Radha so much, they will both show symptoms of this. Somehow, when you see someone who loves, even in this world, I think we show symptoms. Maybe the eyes shine, maybe he's happy, maybe he laughs. At a time when others find there's nothing to laugh, there are symptoms, you know. So here it goes. What are the symptoms? O Shri Krishna, O Shri Radhika, the two of you, being the topmost of all that is attractive, captivate the minds of every living entity. You, Radhika, blossom with ever fresh youth and exhibit qualities which are possessed only by the most excellent of women. Therefore, you are called Shyama. Shyama means she has a lotus, a fragrance like the lotus flower. A lady is called Shyama when also something happens when she touches a bud of an Ashoka flower or a Bakula flower. Somehow, by her energy, if she is a Shyama lady, that Ashoka or Bakula flower burst into flowers. I cannot explain, press it, but I don't know if you, maybe you, most, many of you are ladies, maybe you want to just get an Ashok flower and see if you want to touch it with the foot and if it's a bottom, but maybe we should not try because a flower is, after all, some of the flower. You shouldn't touch the flower with the foot. But in Radhika's case, when she enters the forest of Vrindavan and touches with her lotus foot an Ashok tree, the whole tree bursts into flowers. Imagine, she comes there, touches the tree with her foot, and all is full. So you are a Syama lady. Now, and so that means a very special person who is apparently so much transformed by love that the touch of her feet has this effect. And you, Krishna, you are the ultimate of all handsome youths. You are called Syama because of your dazzling emerald-like brilliance. So, Syama, Syama. Radha Krishna called Radha Syama. What is Krishna's effulgence like? Well, Krishna's effulgence is a combination of four things. A blue lotus flower, a sapphire, the black, it's called eye lining, it's, I believe, kajal. The Krishna's color is like that, and the color of a fresh storm cloud in the monsoon. So these four mix together and build Krishna's effulgence, which is black. Now blackish blue, shiny, and so on. This is the color of Sringara Ras. Radha, your body is radiant like molten gold. And Krishna, so you are Gauri, and Krishna, you are Gaura, because you have a widespread fame. So this is another glorification of Radha and Krishna. Her body shines like millions of lightning strikes. But it's interesting, if you imagine that your eye sees millions of lightning strikes, it would hurt the eye. But Radha's beauty doesn't hurt the eye. It doesn't hurt the eye because her beauty, this is very important, which shines forth, is Mahabhava, the highest love for Krishna. And that never hurts. That just overwhelms the heart of Krishna. So she's called Gauri, the golden one. Well, Krishna is called Gaura. Now, immediately people think, Gaura, well, that means Gaura Chandra. But Rupa Goswami has something else in mind. Maybe he thinks in the back of his mind also Gaura. But here he thinks your fame is just so spread all over. Like everyone knows Krishna and has heard about Krishna. I could see that when we were in Rishikesh. Do you remember there was this theater performance, and whenever there was something with Krishna, everyone went, Krishna really made the evening, although it was not, these Rishikesh people are not pure Krishna bhaktas. In that sense, Krishna's fame is white. It means spotless. There's no spot on Krishna. Everyone likes him. White, white, like here, the spotless white cloth. And there is Rupa Goswami describes Krishna's, the effect of Krishna's fame. I hope I remember this. When Narada Muni sings the glorification of Krishna on his Veena, three extraordinary whitish effects take place. The throat of Nilakanta Shiva, which is blue, turns white. The blue goes in Gauri or Parvati just runs away because she thinks maybe that's another person, it's not my husband. When Balaram goes with his, he has a blue dhoti, but when Balaram hears the glories of Krishna, which are spotlessly white, his dhoti turns white. This is a remarkable thing. We just lost the microphone. So then, when Yamunaji, who is blackish, blue, hears that song of Narada Muni, she turns white, and the gopis are so bewildered that they start to churn the water of the Yamuna, thinking it is milk, and they want to make butter. So Krishna's widespread fame is just so effective, or so effective, I could say. What it does to us is when we hear about Krishna, in Krishna Katha, our heart becomes free from this worries and anxieties, because Krishna's fame acts like a quick medicine. It's so powerful, this medicine, even if you only hear Krishna Katha from far. You don't have to go, in other words, very close to Krishna Katha, although that is much better. If you hear the glories of Krishna from far, because they are so spotlessly pure, they bring you back to life. So these things are there because Radha and Krishna are full of divine love, and that's why they are so effulgent, and also that's why Krishna is so famous. He is the god of love. We feel like this. So therefore then Rupa Goswami ends his verse. He says, your sweet beauty, I request that your sweet beauty may always illuminate my heart. May the beauty of Radha and Krishna be in our heart and give our heart splendor. I think this is really the prayer of us here in Kartik, in the Kartik Vrata. We want that Radha and Krishna ultimately come in our heart and illuminate our heart, and in this way, by the illumination which they give to our heart, we will also be illuminated and illuminate all others. That is our sincere desire. Rupa Goswami is interesting. He has in another prayer identified the heart which should be filled with Krishna. He has said in a very, very powerful prayer, Hridaya Kandare, may the Kanda, the cave of the heart, be filled with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That is something which is again an indication that in the core or innermost part of our heart, there we should think of Radha and Krishna. So Baladev Vidyabhushana describes, thus Navina Vyasa Syama refers to Sri Radha at the tender young age of 16, and Navina Vayasa Shushoma Shobitasyama refers to Sri Krishna, the dark complexioned, exceedingly handsome, fresh youth who's radiant like a blazing sapphire. May I know a sapphire? Is he bluish or greenish? Does anyone know? Bluish. Emerald is green, okay. Should someone ask what they are like, the answer is that Sri Radha is spotlessly effulgent with a golden complexion, gauri. Like when you want to think of Radha, you must think about her golden complexion. And Sri Krishna shines with universal renown of fame. Therefore he is called Gaura. So we will hear one other verse. Sava balava varenya kumaro prataye batu yuvam pranipatya lilaya vita taratam nijadasyam lilaya vitaratam nijadasyam. Oh, yeah, it's the same line twice. So now Rupa Goswami has requested, first he wanted to have what from Radha and Krishna? Do you remember from yesterday? Drop of pure love, so that we can, which guarantees the darshan. He doesn't want to have only the darshan, he wants to first have a drop of pure love, because that's the guarantee for the darshan. Now Krishna might ask Rupa Goswami, you just want to look at me? Is that all? He wants to be absorbed in my sweetness? Is that all? Rupa Goswami, he wants to just be absorbed in the sweetness. We already get an inkling that Rupa Goswami has not yet finished what he wants to say. Here he says, O Sri Krishna, you are the son of Sri Nanda. Again, as you know, he now wants something. So again, he reminds him, remember, follow your lineage. The king of Braja, O Sri Radha, you are the daughter of the respected head of the Vrajavasi, Sri Vrishabhanu Maharaj. Now I bow down before the two of you and I beg, kindly grant me your service, for you can easily do so. The translation here is struggled with the word lilaya, which means to do it very playfully. The translator decided, well, you can playfully grant me your service, that doesn't sound nice. So he said, kindly grant me your service, for you can easily do so. But really, he wants to say, it's not a problem for you. You can just do it, and just like while you do your lila, you can just drop me your seva. It is, let me serve you. It is a very simple request. So this now brings a few very important considerations. Radha and Krishna in their pastime have a very, very wonderful relationship. And the gopi or the devotee who wants to serve Radha and Krishna, especially Rupa Goswami here, wants to do this in a certain way, in a certain confidential way, which is called the way of the Manjaris. She is Rupa Manjaris. The Manjaris, as you all know, are very young girls, and because of their innocence and young age, they have access to Radha and Krishna's pastime, and they feel, because they are servants of Radha, very much inclined to Radharani. That is their first and foremost meditation. So Rupa Goswami may see some a scene which has been described by Narottamdas Thakur. He may see Radha and Krishna on a throne in Vrindavan after they have danced, and he wants to serve them now. What will he do? He will apply sandalwood paste, which is of a very cooling effect. He will place place a crown on Krishna's head, and on the crown she will put a string of gunja beads. She will hang garlands about Krishna and offer the divine cup of betel leaves, and then she may dress Radha in a blue sari, arrange her braid or make a braid, and put a little string of jewels, there's such a prayer by Narottamdas Thakur, in that blackish braid, which is makes the braid very effulgent, and then put a little garland, just a light garland, because Radharani is very delicate, of these small malati flowers. They are a type of jasmine flowers, but they are very small and light. And they smell so good. So, if you want to cultivate this mood, then you should sing like Narottamdas Thakur, "In life and death I serve Radha and Krishna." And he says to develop this mood, you should look at Radha, go through Radha and Krishna's land and Vrindavan, and look at the Leela Stalis, the places where the Leelas of the divine couple was performed, because this will remind you very much of the divine couple. Here in this area is the best Leela Stali. It's Govardhan, Radhakund area, where so many pastimes were performed. And you should look at this. Just look at the land of Vrindavan. Just take it in. And you should also think of the different Leelas of Radha and Krishna. That's why we will read today from Krishna Bhavanamrita. We have to absorb our mind in the Leela. And then, you might So Radha and Krishna may ask Rupa Goswami, "You say you want to serve us, but why? Why?" And Rupa Goswami in this verse seems to answer this question, because he says twice, "You are both the son and daughter of a king. You are actually our prince and our princess. And it's normal to serve a prince and a princess. Not therefore he again uses Nanda Maharaj and Vrishabhanu. Now, we must for a moment stop. Up to now we have explained this verse in a certain way, but as I indicated earlier, it's a very difficult subject. Here in Vrindavan, the devotees, especially at Radhakund, where we are now staying, we all consider ourselves servants of Radharani. We say, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. No, we don't say, Jai Krishna. Have you noticed when you say at Radhakund, Hare Krishna to someone, he goes, Radhe, Radhe. As if you have said the wrong thing, you know. Have you noticed? So, because everyone is so much knowing that Krishna himself is aspiring for the intimate service of Srimati Radharani, the devotee will maybe remember a leela like Krishna coming a little late to the appointed meeting, and Radha is a little bit disappointed with him and goes into a celebrated man mood. So Krishna now will place his crown at the lotus feet of Radha, saying, I'm surrendering to you. Or another leela which shows how the service of Radha is topmost even for Krishna is this nice leela when Radha is at the home of Jatila and is very much eager to meet Krishna. Krishna needs to come under a pretext to meet her. So Krishna climbs over the wall, and because Jatila's place, Yavat, is very close to Kokilvan, the forest of the Kokilas, cuckoos, he will imitate the voice of the cuckoo and say, cuckoo, cuckoo. Radha immediately knows, this is my beloved Krishna, because no cuckoo sings so sweet. This has a special sweetness in the body. So Jatila, who is just resting already nearby, hears the sound and immediately rushes out and says, who's there? And Krishna immediately, he was just coming down to the tree to go over to Radharani, hides again in the tree, goes up again. So after Krishna is sure that Jatila is again in bed and sleeping, the whole night this repeats itself. Krishna comes down to go to Radha, but Jatila is just always in between. Somehow she seems to have a sixth sense, you know. She can't explain, but something is not alright. Something is too sweet in the atmosphere. This can't be. So the Supreme Lord, by whose will everything is possible, wants to meet his, Sanskrit word is Vilasmurti, the form of his part. Vilasmurti is Radha, is the Vilasmurti, the most exquisite form of the pastimes. You see, Krishna is Lila Purushottama, the highest person of Lila, and Radharani is that Vilasmurti, that pastime, or Lila Murti, the queen of his pastimes. Krishna is just totally subjected to her. When Radha doesn't want to see Krishna, have you heard about this? Then Krishna takes different disguises. We saw in Vrindavan a play put on by Bhagavati and the Drup and Leela, where Krishna had to disguise himself as a snake charmer. Do you remember? By the way, Bhagavati has confidentially said that Madan Mohan Brijbasi chanted the snake mantras, two cobras were seen near the stage, isn't it? Just behind. They came. Have to be careful when we are with Bhagavati. Her plays, her dramas, or her leelas are just so much the reality of Braj that maybe we should not play the cobra leela inside of Braj, maybe better outside, but even outside they might come. Krishna takes, disguises himself as Kalavati. Remember Kalavati, a singer? Or to go to Radha, climb into an aromatic, fragrant box. Or Krishna may dress as a barber's girl who are taking care of the foot nails. They may clean the foot nails very nicely and paint different colors on the foot nails. So Krishna might take this form in his leela. So in all these cases, Krishna shows his subservience to Radha. And this is the idea. But that's very difficult to understand. Even the great creator of this universe, Brahma, had great difficulties to understand Krishna's Poganda Leela. You know, when Krishna went out with the cowherd boys and ate prasadam ate at the Jamuna, and Krishna just leaned over and ate food from the already touched plate of one of his friends. And Brahma thought this is a very impure, he has very impure habits. Krishna, this Krishna can't be God. It's just not possible, otherwise he would be a little bit more clean, a little bit more suci. So Brahma came at the end of this leela to Krishna to beg forgiveness, and then he also said, Krishna, so that I don't commit another offense, let me now please leave, you know, I go. But Brahma, you know, if he would have been very comfortable with the pastimes of Braj, would say, I'm staying here. He also later said this, but he was very careful. He said, I want to stay here, but as an insect. You know, insects can't make offenses. When the mosquito stings you, it's not an offense. You know, it's not a Vaishnava offense. It's a mosquito activity. It's nothing. So Brahma was afraid to commit offense because he felt it's so easy for me to make offense here because I just don't understand Krishna so very well in his past. Now imagine the same Brahma would be confronted with the Parakira Bhava between Radha and Krishna, the unwedded love. He would make a Mahabharat, Mahabharat. You know, so therefore, that this Mahabharat is not possible, this leela is usually kept secret. Atul Krishna said that there are two types of leela, Bhagya and Subhagya. Bhagya means Bhadra, Bhadra and Subhadra. Vajra means auspicious. It's usually when Krishna kills the demons, but Subhadra is his activities with the gopis. And he said, on category, he said, no one can understand the Subhadra Leelas of Krishna. It's just so difficult because it looks like the activities are between man and woman in this world. You know, the pastimes look so deceivingly similar. So therefore, that Radha is the highest, and Krishna dresses up to please her, is in desperation to meet her. All this is really only possible if you are willing to understand that the Leela of Krishna is only carried by this extreme development of love, which we have heard in the previous verse. So Rupa Goswami wants to enter the Leela of Krishna, and he wants to enter the Leela of Radha and Krishna, but even he will speak very carefully in his prayer about his desire to enter the Manjari Bhava, that mood in which Krishna Radha and Krishna are worshipped the best, because that's when Radha and Krishna are together, and only the Manjaris are able to stay there during this confidential pastime. And even the elderly, the Sakis like Lalita and Vishaka, they leave, but Rupa Goswami, this will be very clear, he doesn't leave. He doesn't want to leave. So there is a very nice prayer. I mean, there are other prayers, but I don't want to talk so long. There is a very nice prayer which Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions here. When, O Radha, will I become a guest in Vrindavan? When will I wander along the forest groves on the banks of the Yamuna in the hope of attaining service to you, the daughter of Vrishabhanu? This meditation, I think, is very nice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this. You should actually think yourself as a lost servant of Srimati Radharani. You are now sitting here in Vrindavan. You are crying out to her. You are calling for her. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. And you should feel I'm lost here. Like Mahaprabhu, he expressed this. I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. This is not very good. This is problematic. This is problematic, and I'm now calling out for you, my dear Radha, my dear Krishna. I'm calling out, please again fix me. Give me some fixed position in your service. A kinkari. Kinkari means who's at the beck and call of the divine couple. And when we read this fifth chapter of the Bhajan Rahasya, it is very clear that a kinkari is a manjari who wants to join that highest connection between Radha and Krishna. I'm very much aware that these subjects make a lot of sense when you sit at Radha Kun, because here this is the subject. Even when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says one should take his bath in Radha Kund, do you know how he says we should take our bath? I think we have one devotee who's taking bath. You should think yourself not as a body, but as a your spiritual identity of a Manjari. This is how to take a bath in Radha Kund. I am personally very shy to take I think it's very good if devotees take the bath in Radha Kund, but I always take only one bath. I just get quickly into the, go out. With this, I don't want to say that we should take it daily. Prabhupada says this, we should use the opportunity while here. This is not the point. I don't know. I always have the feeling in my life, let us keep sacred things sacred. I'm really thinking like this. But I must also say I'm a little water shy. I had too much of this when I was a child and lived at an ocean. I'm not just. It's very important for me to say those devotees who want to take their bath, and they should take their bath. There is not anything, and they should meditate while they take their bath. It should be a meditative bath, not a sportful bath, but it should be a bath where we think of our spiritual identity while we do it, and pray that I'm your lost servant, just like here in this prayer. Please find me on one of these forest paths and one of these holy places. Please find me and accept me. Please accept me again in your service. This is very useful meditation, and I think it is a very real meditation also. No? When we do Govardham, Parikrama, we can also think and pray to Giriraj, please see me, I've come here before you, I'm doing my this Parikrama, making an effort to glorify you, please accept me, please find me. Please overlook my innumerous faults. Please find me. This is a very useful meditation. The daughter of Vrishabhanu is the embodiment in which I always meditate on Krishna, who wears a peacock feather in his crown. I chant his holy names. I always serve his lotus feet. And I chant the best of all his mantras, the Gopa mantra. All this I do, holding the most cherished service of Radha's lotus feet within my heart. We serve Krishna because, together with Radha, and because we know Krishna is most pleased with Radharani, we feel, let me become a servant of Radharani. And while we do this, we become totally sold out to Radha, and all of a sudden we find Radha on the first place in our life, and that is what Krishna likes the most. All of a sudden it makes a switch. We don't serve any longer Krishna and Radha because Radha is dear to Krishna. A switch happens. We serve all of a sudden Radha. And we serve Krishna because Krishna is dear to Radha. Our mind becomes obsessed or filled, in other words, with Radha, so that everyone else takes the second place. That is something which happens, if it happens naturally, by realization, doesn't happen by some mental adjustment. Okay, this is the philosophy. Okay, let me try to think like this. And then we pray, the daughter of Prishabhanu is the embodiment in which the essence of unlimited rasa plays. Vilas vikraha. She possesses the most amazing beauty, which is the root of all joy, even Krishna's joy. She is a goal that even Lord Brahma and the other gods can never reach. Oh, may I attain her service alone, lifetime after lifetime. How do you find this? Hare Krishna, it sounded like a little monkey. My God, they are everywhere now. So Rupa Manjari, we hear Rupa Goswami wants to do this service, and here she is. Let us give our, let us make now our mind a mind which relishes the pastimes. Rupa Manjari then swiftly ran back to Sri Radhika with the champa garland of Krishna in her hand and hung it around her neck. Thus, Sri Radhika was revived by the embrace of her lover's fragrance. But a minute later, she was again bitten by the horrible scorpions of separation from her Priyatama. And she became very afflicted. The poison of this bite made the nectarian fragrance of Krishna's champaka garland fade. So she's revived, but as she is revived, she understands, I'm still separated from Krishna, and then she forgets the blessings of the champaka garland. So Sri Radhika planned to deceive her superiors and to meet Krishna. She goes out of the house on the pretext of worshipping the sun god together with her friends. Luckily, Jatila came in and, following the words of Gargi, said, Gargi's daughter of Gargacharya, Gargamuni. So Jatila comes under the influence of the pastimes potency in just as Radha gets the idea to get out of the house under the pretext of sun god worship, and she says, oh girls, go deep into the forest to worship the sun. So that we'll get billions of cows. Let the splendid Mitra, who is the god presiding over the eyes, make you happy. Now, what she says can all be read in a way that, for instance, Mitra is a name of Krishna. May Krishna, the god presiding over the eyes, make you happy. It can all be understood like this. And Radhika hears these words, of course, and just smiles and giggles and has to really draw her veil, because she thinks, I can't believe it. My stepmother talks here about Krishna without knowing it even. I can't believe it. So then the gopis, knowing that Krishna likes sweets very much, collect different sweets and cook also sweets which they apparently still used as an offering to the sun god, but in reality they just use it to give to Krishna. These sweets, they are so good that they are unobtainable even to Lord Shiva. Even Shiva doesn't get such sweets. So as Radha collects all the items to worship Krishna, Krishna becomes so impatient to meet her because Radha is a little delayed. And therefore he engages his flute, Muralika, to call Radha. He begins to play the flute in ways which Radha can hear. This Muralika flute throws Radhika in a great whirlpool, in a river of eagerness. As Radha hears the flute song of her beloved Krishna, who impatiently calls her, she begins to shiver, and she showers her whole Zarian body with her tears. She becomes so restless that she stops her friends who decorate her, and she puts on her blue sari and everything backwards, and then quickly, like streams of nectar, all the gopis leave Yavat. First they are very, very shy, they have their veils drawn, but when they are in the forest they take the veils off and they talk and laugh about Krishna. Talk about Krishna's flute. "Hey Saki, Hari's flute sings as pleasant as someone who knows all the scriptures and stifles even the pika birds that are very polite." Pika birds, you know, they do something which some of you don't do. Some of you always interrupt the speaker with comments, and this is considered impolite. But pika birds never interrupt anyone if a superior person speaks. They just keep shut out of politeness. This is the pika birds. So all the birds in Vrindavan hear Krishna's flute, and they don't go or make comments that are very politely keeping their mouths shut. This is what we should do as cultured people when there is a lecture going on, or we should not interrupt. We should learn this from the pika birds. Just be silent and politely listen. So oh my God, this is all so nectarian, but I'm fearing that, well, I think I will not talk much more because it's so nice to read this. But maybe we should just hear the effect of Krishna's flute. "When Hari calls his cows with his flute, it is as if the earth also reacts by showing goosebumps of ecstasy on her skin in the form of erect blades of grass." The earth just shows signs of ecstasies. "The trees shower honey as drops of perspiration. The birds of the parrots, peacocks become stunned. They don't talk. The clouds in heaven shed tears of ecstasy. A little soft drizzle is coming down. And the directions fan hurry with their soft, cool breezes. In this way, nature shows all eight symptoms of sattvika, ecstasies of love. Without Krishna's wish, all these creatures, the earth, the trees, the birds, the rivers, the clouds and the directions, feel themselves being addressed by the word go, as Krishna's flute saying, come, my go. So actually Krishna plays on his flute, calling the cows, but everyone, that's one quality of Krishna, everyone feels addressed and feels come, 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 and even the rivers stop their flow and go backwards to go to Krishna, because Krishna just said come, 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 come. So this is some of the Krishna Katha for the tired Vaishnavas. I hope that you get more and more life by hearing this wonderful pastimes of Krishna, wonderful topics of Krishna consciousness. Actually, it is important that we hear these pastimes of Krishna again and again. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, until we faint, our material consciousness should faint, fall down, and that will be very good for us. Shyam Sundar Krishna. So, my dear Pika bird-like devotees, so nice. It's also for me. I so much enjoy these things. I read them during the day and many other things, and I'm thinking about these things, and then it's a great pleasure to share them. And it's very nice that although you are tired from a day of doing your own vratas, you come and listen. I think it's very good if devotees talk about Krishna like this in the evening, become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It's very, very necessary. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I think there's a commentary where he says, the Leela nourishes us like a mother, the child, isn't it? That was what Pundarik gave you, that quotation, like a child will nurse the mother. The mother will nurse the child to life. Leelas also help us, but I think it's very nice for us to, in order to understand the Leela, to go through the prayers of Rupa Goswami. Ananda Chaitanya told me something when he was doing Parikram today. He remembered these requests or aspirations or beggings of Rupa Goswami from his work Utkala Valari. I think if Rupa Goswami shows us really a way into these pastimes by just praying, and you know, when a very high devotee prays, you can be rest assured that his prayers are all based on very deep understandings. And I'm trying to learn the understandings which are behind these prayers and share them. So that my own prayers become also informed by the higher understandings. I have come to the end.